believer in Jesus Christ. I am in recovery from heroin addiction, and I struggle with sexual impurity. Heidi-ho. Please stand if you are able for the reading of today's verses. 1 Peter 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:2, keep your minds on things there, not on things here on earth. Thank you. You may be seated.
Morning. This morning we're going to address a very important biblical topic. Today we are getting hitched.
Yes, we're getting hitched. Wait a minute. Aren't we already hitched?
Not that kind of hitched. Okay. Now we're going to look inward. We're going to ask ourselves, am I focusing on my past? Am I focusing on the present today or my future? One day, we are all, in fact, hitched somewhere.
We will examine why we get hitched, where we do, and what we can do about it.
We'll seek answers in God's Word. We'll illustrate the points visually and in a simple and relatable way.
And share some personal stories as well. Let's start by looking at a place it's really easy to get hitched to. The past. The Bible says, for the Lord sees clearly what a man does, examining every path he takes. An evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are the ropes that catch and hold him.
We all have a past. We know that we were hopeless out on our own, trying to make it in a world that shows no mercy. We all had to come to the end of ourselves and cry out to the Lord. That's when we are ready to join God in His will for our lives by surrendering to His Son, Jesus. Then we confessed our need for Him to save us. We became born again, and we were forgiven of all of our past wrongs and sins.
But that didn't mean that our memories were erased at that moment, for as cool as that would be. We did not automatically forget those who have hurt us before and those that we too have hurt. And it also didn't mean, from that point forward, we would never hurt anyone else ever again. We did not become sinless and perfect in all of our ways, no matter how much we wanted to be.
And for some people, like me, there have been great struggles against all varieties of sin. I have struggled so mightily against shame from the sins I committed as a Christian, knowing what I was doing was wrong, yet in rebellion and selfishness, choosing sin anyway. For most of my Christian walk, I felt like an outsider, like a black sheep, someone who would eventually be found out and kicked out. And the self-condemnation cycle that I was perpetually in left me feeling very insecure and disqualified. So then how do people like me guard against getting hitched to the past like this? I can tell you this, avoiding the past is not an effective coping mechanism. Although speaking from personal experience, it's a method that I employed for most of my life. I can say that burying it, trying to outrun it, denying it, and attempting to avoid it at all costs are ineffective ways of dealing with both the ancient, the distant, and the recent past. Jeremiah 6:14 says, you can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. Over the last few weeks, we've been asking various people a series of questions about being hitched. I'll paraphrase the questions and abbreviate some answers. Some people chose to remain anonymous while others said it was okay to use their names. Question one, how do you avoid being hitched to the things of the past? Let's hear from some fellow believers in the church. It's really hard because I feel guilty. I'm scared people are going to find out about the truth about my past and the things that I've done. It is hard to avoid being hitched to the past when dealing with guilt, fear, and condemnation. All of those try to hitch us to the past permanently. Often when we think of the past, though, it's over regrets and mistakes. But some of us hitch to the past for a different reason. Another answer, I don't know. I liked everything better the way it used to be. I miss the good old days. For example, you might think, Pastor Mike isn't Pastor Jerry. And Pastor Jerry wasn't as good as Pastor Jim. That's because Pastor Mike isn't Pastor Jerry. Okay? They're both amazing leaders who I have had the privilege to serve under. And as hard as Pastor Mike could ever try, he can't be Pastor Jerry because he's Pastor Mike. Correct. That doesn't diminish Pastor Jerry or our founding pastor, Pastor Jim Erickson. It means that we're moving forward. And each leader has a unique gifting and calling to lead us. And trust me when I tell you, I have heard, Pastor James doesn't play the songs like Jeannie Brouette used to. Okay? But Jeannie didn't do the hymns like Gary Wattier did. And none of them were as good as Lon. Okay. That might all be true. I don't know. All right. Well, one thing is for sure. No one, and I mean no one, can sing as high as Jeannie Brouette. I'm telling you, I can hear it in my head like it was yesterday. It was 15 years ago. I have a destiny. I know I shall fulfill.
I can hear it too.
I can't get it out of my head, actually.
Now we'll all have it in our
yes,
head.
Yes, we yeah. will.
Speaking of Jeannie Brouette, our former worship leader before we came here, and a wonderful friend and encouraging ministry partner, she had this to say about being hitched to the past. I didn't know how to protect myself. I was afraid to share my deep hurts, and my coping mechanisms were to avoid close relationships, hold on to my hurts, and live in self-pity, and expect others to know about my feelings, thus living in denial. Denial never brought the healing and the release, and this insanity kept me in an emotional prison. When I faced up to this truth of hiding my deep hurts, I started counseling and began to release the pain. I set necessary boundaries, and I began to make good choices. I came to understand that the events in my past shaped me, but they don't have to define me. The truth was, and sometimes still is, I was being selfish and holding on to those hurts, living in my pity and expecting to get better results.
The past can be hard to deal with, difficult to face, and often we believe better left alone. But it doesn't go away.
That's right.
And the issues that we bury resurface in ways that we often don't even see in our present day today. In talking through this message with Pastor Mike this week, he said something so profound that applies perfectly here. He said, we learn from the past, we don't live in it.
That's good.
And so we need to treat the past like a rearview mirror. But if we switch these words around a little bit, we live in the past, we don't learn from it. Then, just like me, you're hitched to it. Then we're trying to drive forward by staring only in the rearview mirror. That would be an abject disaster, okay? It's hard enough to use that little rearview mirror, isn't it? I'm the only one. Okay, no problem. But if you try to drive forward in your life by looking out the rearview mirror, we are certain to cause a wreck of ourselves, and we're going to affect everyone around us as well. We don't want to be afraid to look in the rearview mirror to know where we've come from, but we also know that our destination isn't in the past.
That's right. Well, here's something you probably don't know about me. A little bit of history for you. My dad was born and raised in Milwaukee. He was a typical big city kid who spent his boyhood summers trying to sneak into County Stadium to watch the Braves. My mother, on the other hand, grew up in a small country town in Central Florida. They couldn't be more culturally different unless they were from different countries, which is almost true. There is a vast difference between my German immigrant grandparents who barely spoke English and made a new life for themselves in the Midwest, and my Alabama-born granddaddy who raised his family with Deep South philosophy and beliefs. I'm the youngest of four children. My oldest brother, Tony, was born in Florida. Scotty, a lot of you know Scotty, he was born in Texas. And my brother Richie and I were both born in Milwaukee. So there was a lot of moving around even in those years. Shortly after I was born, we moved from Milwaukee to Central Florida, to Orlando. And I learned to swim and ride a bike, and that's where I started school. But sometime after kindergarten, we moved to Crivets. That was a culture shock.
Right.
And when I was in the third grade, we moved to Oconto. Another culture shock. Right. But in those years, every family vacation we ever took was to visit my mother's family back in Florida. So after my sophomore year of high school, we moved back to Orlando, and that's where I graduated. After graduation, I moved to Tyler, Texas, and I lived there for a few years. Went back to Orlando, back to Wisconsin, but this time I moved to Green Bay. And I tell you all this because I've struggled for so long with the concept of belonging somewhere. Whenever someone asked me, "Where are you from?" I would shrug my shoulders. "Where am I from?" I would always think, "Oh, I hate this question. I'm not from anywhere. I was born somewhere, but I never lived there. I grew up somewhere that I wasn't from, and I graduated with people I didn't know. Where'd you go to school? Where'd you graduate from?" I'm like, "I graduated from a school in Orlando." "Oh, are you from Florida?" "No." I felt like no place actually belonged to me. So here's something else you may or may not know. James and I are a blended family. Two from one from the other, and Nate made four for us. But they were all born in the same city. And this is where we now belonged. We were from Green Bay. And I was really proud to be able to provide this foundation for them. Saying it out loud makes it sound kind of unusual. Many people that I know here have lived in this area their whole lives, including my husband, Pastor James. But given my childhood and my young adult years, this meant a lot to me. I still have a little sense of pride whenever I go to the doctor's office and the check-in nurse says, "Still on Folkestone Drive?" "Yes." "Still United Healthcare?" "Yes." "Still with Lexington?" "Yes." This is my passport. It holds some pretty special memories for me. It actually needs to be renewed at the end of this month. Passports are good for 10 years. Same address. Just saying. And although my weight may have changed, my address has not changed. We love to travel, and most of the time, it's not outside of the U.S. But I like to bring my passport, sometimes if we travel domestically. I like having this official document. Because if all else fails, the passport means more than any other document I might carry with me. So when preparing this message for you today, I didn't realize how much I actually moved around and was scattered about. And in considering my response to that, how much having consistency means to me. But you know, like many blended families, there's always a lot of running around and transporting kids from one parent to the other, alternating holidays and weekends until I felt like I was a complete mess. There was always this underlying current of competition and jealousy, frustration constantly with the methods of the alternating parents, so that sometimes I felt consumed with it. Most of the time, I was consumed with it. I wanted to have my tribe, and I didn't want anybody else to influence that. Thoughts of belonging slipped right through my fingers as I was unable to create any lasting traditions or patterns. I felt like traditions and patterns created roots and a solid foundation of knowing where you're from and who you belong to. But having to switch every other holiday, birthday, weekend, vacation, school break, summer, it became seemingly impossible to have anything that anybody would be able to remember. As I reflect back on those years, I see myself grasping at their shirt tails, my children, trying to keep them all together as they were being whisked away from me. I began to dread the holidays, like seriously dislike every holiday, because it became a reminder every year of how I had failed to create any happy memories, except memories of rushing through meals and gifts to be on time for our kids to be somewhere else. I have been so jealous of comments like, "My family does this every year for Christmas." And this is our holiday tradition, something that I didn't have growing up, and I wanted so badly to create for my own family, has been an opportunity that has now come and gone. I struggle with the failure of this. Our oldest three are grown, and the holidays are still fragmented for us. I realize that in my striving to grasp a hold of my life today, I am bound by and hitched to making today significant enough to be of value. There are no do-overs, as much as I'd like there to be. So I struggle to make today matter and count for something. I'm like a hamster in a wheel. I can go and I can go and I can go, but I'm not getting anywhere. All of my running and striving and struggling to control these few moments on earth in order to have roots is actually the opposite of who I am in Jesus. Yet here I am, spinning my wheels each day, hitched to these moments in my life, hitched to today, that continually elude me. The problem with hitching myself is that today is unsteady. You see, sometimes my today is up here. Sometimes my today is down here. But I don't want to be tied to this day, this hour, this location, or this place. I want to trade my passport in for the real deal of citizenship and belonging, a document that has more legitimacy than this passport could ever have. This one. I want to move my hitch and let go of the fear and embarrassment of not belonging anywhere, and instead look ahead to one day when I will be with the one who created me to belong to him.
We have the benefit to hear from someone the Bible tells us is the wisest person to ever live, a man named Solomon. Here's what he says on this topic. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Proverbs 4:25-27.
You know, that is such great practical and sound advice, and it sounds so simple and easy. But our daily lives are filled with distractions, you know. Amazon Prime, for example. There are a few of my favorite other locations to visit for a bit of retail therapy. Goodwill, Target, TJ Maxx. They can easily take me off track. I'll even go to Ross in a pinch. You know what I'm saying?
I would say Home Depot, Guitar Center, and Craigslist, but I get your point. And it's not just the distractions that can get me off track. A lot of days, I feel trapped in worry. When my blood sugars are off from having type 1 diabetes, when my CPAP machine malfunctions, or I think of rising healthcare costs, not just for me, but for our family, and for Nate, and for his future. This is a bottle of insulin right here, insulin that I take. This is a month's supply of insulin. These cost $300 each. And this is 1 month's supply. I don't have a choice. If I don't take that, I would die within 2 weeks. These are test strips to test my blood sugar, which I do up to 8 times a day. They're 50 cents a piece, and I need 700 per month. Back here is a basket of supplies. These are what's called quick sets, right here. It's that little tube that maybe sometimes you see sticking out of me. And that goes with these things called reservoirs, which go into my pump. And these are what's called sensors right here. And a sensor is another thing I wear on my abdomen. And it monitors my blood sugar in real time. And I have this insulin pump that I wear. It monitors my blood sugar in real time and actually gives me insulin. They call it a hybrid closed-loop system, almost as good as an artificial pancreas. This box here, and these boxes here, and this represents thousands of dollars every month. So it's real easy to get worried about those costs and those distractions. And those are real life situations that can cause fear to rise real fast. So all of this and all of that makes me think of horses. Okay? I've got a creative brain. You got to hang in there with me. All right? Yes, horses. These are what's called blinders, okay? Here's what they look like when a horse wears them.
Horses often need to be made to focus, and blinders keep the horse's eyes focused on what's ahead rather than what is at the side or behind. Horses can be very easily startled and spooked, and that's why racehorses are often given blinders for the purpose of keeping them focused when racing around on the race course.
Farming horses can also be predisposed to distractions, and if they're pulling a plow or wagon, they need blinders to stop them from losing concentration or the direction they're supposed to be headed. So just like those horses, we need to set our focus fully on what's ahead. Set aside the distractions by removing them from our field of vision, whenever possible, and remove the hitches from the past and from today so that we can hitch ourselves to one day.
So how do we hitch ourselves to one day? How do you hitch to a promise? Listen to one of our main verses for today, Colossians 3:2. From the Amplified Version. Set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, these heavenly things, not on things that are on the earth, which only have a temporary value. The things above are the things of God. God is often noted as being above in the New Testament from John 3:31 and 8:23. And heaven is also described as above in James 1:17. So we trust that God is who he says he is in his word, the Bible.
So the question now is, what post are you hitched to? For nearly all my adult life, I've told you, I've been hitched to the past. I was living in the present, mostly dreading the future, because I wasn't sure that my future was secure. The past held my secrets, and its voices haunted me and filled me with fear regularly. All of us have been hurt, and there are many crushing and debilitating wounds, but more often, the pain is like this, is stone. Sometimes we think of the past as decades ago, years we barely remember, faces long faded with time, memories that are difficult to recall, but life happens in real time. And yesterday is also the past. I know I was rude yesterday. I'm not going to look at Mrs. Koshin at the moment. And have I apologized in humility to my family for it? No, if I haven't. I caused somebody hurt. Ooh. So yes, I can still function. I can still walk around. I'm probably not going to go run a 10K like this, but I can. And if I really toughen up, I can adjust my walk so that it's hard to notice that I'm hurting at all. But I'm reminded of the irritations, of the hurts from my past time and again. And as I collect more and don't deal with it, it becomes harder and harder to function and to mask the fact that nothing's wrong. That one hurt. That one hurt. It affects how I walk, right? I can't walk my normal way. It affects my spiritual walk. When I have a hurt in my life that I'm not willing to deal with, that I'm trying to bury, because I don't need to deal with it, it affects my spiritual walk. And I find myself hitched to the past. And those of us in constant pain, in chronic pain, know this affects how we act. When you're in pain all the time, it affects your attitude. It affects what I think about. I can't help but notice the pain with every step I take. So my past pain from here affects me here and today. And in the future, until I deal with it. Friends, that's what Celebrate Recovery is. It's not camping out in the past. It's an examination of what's happened, of who's hurt me, and specifically who I've hurt. And it's seeking to repair and restore those relationships whenever possible and dealing with those hard questions. Like, why do I do what I do? And I can see other people who limp just like me. And I can walk alongside him until he learns to deal with his wounds in the past and lay it down. There we go. I love you, man.
Love you, dude.
As Christians, we hitch to the promises that this passport gives us access to, knowing that our one day is a place called heaven. So the last question that we asked our friends was, how do you keep your mind hitched to the promise of heaven? And you know, I just love Mike Wilbert's response. He said, I need to remember that this life on earth is only a small portion of my eternal story. One day, I will see Jesus face to face.
Amen. Heaven, one day, where there will be no guilt, no shame, no regret, no secrets, no self-condemnation, no bitterness, no striving, sickness, or division, no more longing for what once was, no more rearview mirrors. I get to see my brother, who could never speak here on earth, but I believe will be bellowing a beautiful baritone voice of worship at the feet of Jesus. I have full confidence that I'll get to hold my niece Sarah's hand again and hear the laugh that I miss so much right now echoing in the caverns of heaven as she joins the angels in crying, "Holy is the Lamb of God." There's so much we don't know yet about that day ahead, that one day. It'll be far beyond what we can even hope for. And what am I looking for? What am I looking forward to in that one day? When I make it there, I'm looking forward to laying this down. And I'm looking forward to taking this off one last time and laying it down and being free.
Amen. Our greatest desire is for you to join us there one day, to unhitch from the past or to get unhitched from today and to hitch yourself to your faith, your hope, and your life to one day. We're going to watch a video, and at its conclusion, Mark will return and close and dismiss us in prayer.
Can we start that over, guys? We need the audio on. We're going to get it one day. All right, so let's make sure the sound on the computer is on and the sound on the soundboard is unmuted.
They're protesting because I can't watch.
Like a distant memory.
Okay, now we'll start it over. Thank you for your patience.
Sickness that I struggle with today will be gone like a distant memory. One day, I'll get to hold my precious baby who I never got the chance to meet before she met you. Her fight and left me heartbroken. I'll hear her laugh and hold her hand again one day. The addiction that my sister struggles with will forever lose its devastating grip. One day, every sorrow, every tear, every stain and
man would run to Jesus on his own. His wheelchair won't be needed anymore. One day, one day. Every song.
That was a pretty awesome message. Amen. I'm gonna close in the Serenity Prayer for Celebrate Recovery, if you know it. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time. Accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Yeah, you're free to grow.